Chapter 10, Crime and Punishment. Page 170, Activity 3. Listening to paraphrase parts of a lecture.
Okay, let's get started. Today's lecture about choice is in two parts. The first part of the lecture is about the difference between predetermination and free will. I hope that by the end of class, that difference will be clear to you all, because I want to hear your ideas on these two very different views of the world. The second part of the lecture is about choice in the real world, when life or death decisions have to be made. So, do you believe that our lives are predetermined? Or do you believe that we make choices that direct our lives? Basically, if you believe that our lives are predetermined, then you believe that everything we do is decided before we are born. Maybe you think we are programmed to do the things we do. Or perhaps you think a spiritual force makes all our decisions for us. But even if we believe our lives are somehow predetermined, we still appear to be making choices every day. We choose what to have for dinner, or what movie to go to. We choose our friends from among the hundreds of people we meet. So the question is, are these really choices, or is the concept of free choice only an illusion? On the other hand, if you believe that we have free will, then you believe that we do really make all our own decisions. For example, Hindus and Buddhists believe that our choices are made freely, and that these choices add up to either a good life or a bad life. This is called karma. They also believe in reincarnation. According to this belief, if we don't make enough good decisions during one lifetime, we are reborn to try to do better in the next life. These two opposing views, predetermination and free will, can have important effects on our lives. How do you think they can affect us? Yes, Craig.
Well, if you believe that everything is predetermined, then that might make you feel as if you have no control over what happens to you. You know, no control over your life.
And that feeling would certainly affect your behavior. For example, maybe you would feel that if you're not in control, then you don't have to take responsibility for your choices.
Yes, that's quite possible. Therefore, we should examine these opposing views about choice as a starting point in determining our own attitude toward life. You may recall that Socrates suggested this when he said that the unexamined life is not worth living. How many of you have looked at your past actions and said, "I wish I had done that differently," or "if only I had decided to do this instead of what I did"? And certainly we all have worried about the future and thought, "I hope I can do the right thing." Our relationship to the past and to the future seems to be connected with our present choices. That is, all our wishes and hopes for the future are very connected to what we choose now, in the present.
Stop 1.
Okay. All right, then. But now I want you to think about this. Would you then say that you were not really responsible for the crime? Would you try to get off? Be excused by saying you did it because the society did not provide a job for you, and that's why you and your family were so hungry? This is not an easy question, is it? Now, what about this case? On March 30th, 1981, the President of the United States, Ronald Reagan, and three other men were shot on a street in Washington, D.C. John Hinckley, Jr., the young man who shot these men, admitted that he felt no remorse about his crime. Three of his four victims recovered. The fourth suffered permanent brain damage. 15 months later, after an 8-week trial that cost $3 million, Hinckley was found not guilty by reason of insanity. Think about that. Hinckley shot the President of the United States and three other people, and was only sent to a mental hospital for counseling and treatment. When the psychiatrists decide that he is well enough, he will be released and sent home. He will not go to prison.
Wow, that's incredible.
That's terrible.
No kidding. I didn't know that.
Well, it's true. Naturally, many people were very angry that Hinckley received such a small punishment. However, Hinckley's punishment is not my focus here. I want to focus instead on the choice Hinckley made. His actions came from his choice, and his actions injured 4 people. Did you know that in the United States, only those criminals who made their choices consciously, willfully, and freely are punished? Yep, that's the law. If it is proven in court that an act, no matter how evil, was caused by influences beyond the control of the person who did it, then that person is not punished for the act. In other words, in American society, the law says that you are not responsible for choices you make if you are not aware or in control of your actions. This is called legal insanity. How about that?
Stop 3.
Now let's talk about choice in the real world. The practical implications of choice increase and intensify when life or death decisions have to be made. For example, if you were a judge and your job was to sentence a person to prison or even death for violation of rules or beliefs in your community, you might question the nature of right and wrong before finally reaching a decision. Do any of you recall the character Jean Valjean from Les Misérables, who was sentenced to 7 years of slavery for stealing a loaf of bread for his starving family? What choice would you have made if you were the judge? I hope you are compassionate and would take time to consider all the possible choices and not decide too quickly.
Wow, that's a tough one.
I don't know.
I'm really not sure.
I need to think about it.
And what if you were Jean Valjean? Would you have chosen to break the law to feed your family?
Absolutely.
Of course. I'd bet your life I would.
Stop 2.
We are faced with other questions, perhaps not as serious, every moment of our lives. Who will I go out with on Saturday night? Shall I go on a diet? Should I go to the movies tonight? Or should I study for that biology test? Should I make long-range plans for my career? And more important, how should I treat other people? The poetry, fiction, and theater of every culture reflect the drama involved in making these kinds of choices, but they do not offer simple answers. The only definite rule we are given about making choices is that we have to make them, or they will be made for us. Ah, but if only we could make perfect choices, then there would be no problem, right? In summary, we have touched lightly on the extremely important matter of the nature of human choice and briefly examined the relationship between human choice, crime, and punishment. I hope this lecture has stimulated you to reflect on your own choices, what they are, and why you are making them, and to consider how they shape your worldview and what your responsibility is for their effects. And remember, whether you think your choices are predetermined or made freely, you cannot get away from making choices. For after all, to choose is to be human.
Stop 4.